What is ADHD? Do you struggle explaining it to others? Are you not quite sure yourself? I wish everyone with an ADHD diagnosis got a little pamphlet that explained what it is, what you should do next, and where to find help, and we still have a ways to go. The three keys to ADHD management, in my opinion, are 1, learn about your brain. 2, put on your oxygen mask first. And 3, ask for help. That's what I literally share on here every day with you on the Motherhood and ADHD podcast. I've got lots of free downloads on my website, including quality resources and treatment plan ideas. You can go to patriciasung.com/resources and grab those. But what is it? We've been discussing the nuances of executive function for the last few episodes, and I want us to go back to the beginning for a moment. I want you to feel confident when somebody asks you, what is it? I want you to have a response ready, both a simple one, just like a sentence or two, but also a more detailed one where you can actually explain to somebody why you are the way you are. Not to say that you need a justification, but that you can feel confident in knowing that it's not made up, it's real. This is who I am and how my brain works. And I want you to have all that information backed up by science. So, what is ADHD? Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. I'm your friend, Patricia Sun. My mission is to be a lighthouse for mothers with ADHD, helping you find your path to success by learning to appreciate your ADHD as an asset. I'm seeking to change the paradigm that ADHD means your life is doomed to be a hot mess. So I'm sharing strategies and encouraging you in your pursuit of happiness to love who you are every day of your ADHD life. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia Sung. Now, before we get into the meat and potatoes of the episode, let's do a review shout out. If you're listening on iTunes, please scroll down and leave an honest review on the podcast because I love to hear what is helping you. Not only does it make me happy because I'm literally sitting here in my guest room by myself talking to nobody at the time of recording, you know, that lets me know, hey, this actually is getting to somebody and making a difference. But it also helps the podcast move up in the searches. So when other mamas go to look for resources on ADHD and being a mom, that this podcast will come up higher up and they'll be able to find it because you know that we are not scrolling down 43 pages of results. Right. So thank you for leaving the review. This one today is by Jess with a lot of S's, DB. It says, thank you for doing this. Yes, as a mama, myself, and as a therapist, this is so needed. Thank you for putting this out into the world. So thank you, Jess, for all the good vibes. And let's get into what we're talking about today. I have been doing a lot of podcasting, so being a guest on other people's podcasts, and in this month of ADHD Awareness Month, I've already done 2, and I am so grateful that there are people out there who are willing to open up their podcast and say, hey, tell me about it, like share what's going on with you and want to hear my story. It's amazing. At the same time, the first question they always ask me besides like, who are you? You know, tell us about yourself is what is ADHD? And I realized on the very first one that I did many moons ago, I didn't really have a good answer. I was like, it's really complicated and there's a lot of parts to it. And I didn't have like a snappy answer of like, this is what it is. So I have since put that together. And this is how I explain it to people. And I don't go quite into this much detail on other people's podcasts because obviously this is a lot of information, but I kind of condense it down and take the little pieces. So my simple answer for you to use as well, feel free, is that ADHD stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. It's a neurological disorder affecting the brain activity and development, and it's seen in a persistent pattern of inattention and or hyperactivity and impulsivity that interferes with functioning or development. So let's break all that down. And also, as a side note, I reference the sources that I use on my website. So if you ever wonder if I'm full of BS, you can go over there and look at the resources that I pulled this information from. Or if you want to learn more about it, you can go in there. This episode's coming out at the end of the month. I release them on Thursdays. So what is that, like the 28th or the 29th? Should have looked that up. So you'll be able to find all those resources by the time I get that up on the website at the end of the month. Okay, so It's a medical condition. It is a neurological disorder. Someone who has ADHD also has differences in their brain development, their brain activity. There's actual structural differences in their brain. When we say it's all in your head, I mean it is, but your head is now shaped differently and created differently. There's a physical difference. There's also an execution problem. Our neurotransmitters are not utilized efficiently. So the main two we're talking about are norepinephrine and dopamine. And there are 100 billion neurons in your brain, which is a lot. And each neuron is sending messages to other neurons across the synapse, which is a gap in between the neurons. Each neuron has between 1,000 and 10,000 synapses or connection points. The neurotransmitters are the chemicals or hormones that your body makes naturally. These are the vehicles that carry the message across the gap, across the synapse, and deliver that message or package, if you will, to the other side of the gap. This is all happening at like lightning speed in 1 millisecond. So that's 1,000th of a second. 12 messages can cross the synaptic gap. So when you think about how rapidly that's happening in one synapse and each neuron has thousands of them and you have 100 billion with the B billion neurons, I mean, that's just like crazy, so many. So I'm going to take you to a delivery truck analogy. The neurotransmitters are like the delivery trucks. They're what your body creates to send the messages across the gap. So when you have a message, it's like they put the package in the delivery truck and then the delivery truck drives across the gap. Well, I mean, this is like through space. So like it flies across the gap. I don't know, maybe it's an airplane. Just stay with me here. The delivery truck goes to the other side, delivers the message or the package, and then comes back so that it can pick up the next message. Now, we don't have an issue making the norepinephrine and the dopamine. We have it. We just don't send it out. So we have all these vehicles, but they're just sitting in the garage. They don't go anywhere and they're not delivering anything. They're just hanging out. And then the second part of that problem is that when we do send them out, they will return too quickly. So before they actually get to the other side and deliver the message, they head back to home base to pick up another message and they didn't deliver the first one. So if you extrapolate that out, if a neurotypical person, like let's take this down to like super simple numbers, they have 10 delivery trucks. The delivery trucks each pick up a message, they go to the other side, they deliver their package, and they come back. So they got 10 trucks, each one delivered a package. There are 10 packages now on the other side. So 10 messages hopped from neuron to neuron. If you have ADHD, you have 10 trucks, but your brain only sent out 5 of them. So you had less trucks leave, but then 2 of them come back before they actually delivered the message. So only 3 of your packages actually made it to the other side. So that's a big gap to fill when you are not only not sending out all your vehicles, but then also the vehicles returned before they actually did their job. So there's way less messages making it across the gap. And then when you think about like there's billions upon millions of messages being sent every second across the billions of neurons and synapses and all that, like it very quickly becomes a really huge problem. Now, as a side note, I'm not going to get too far off on this tangent because I am preparing a series about medicines for early 2021. But just so you understand, since we're in the science right now, stimulants a lot of times will scare people because they see this hyperactive person or hyperactive mind. They're like, why on earth would you give them a stimulant and make them even worse? That sounds like a terrible idea. Well, actually, that's not what's happening. When you take the stimulant, it's increasing your alertness because we do have energy and alertness problem, and you're improving the communication system in the brain. So if I go back to my delivery truck analogy, the stimulant will help send out the vehicles that should be going. So maybe instead of only sending out 5 delivery trucks, maybe the medicine would help you send out like 7 or 8 or 9 delivery trucks. That would be great, right? Now, the difference between like the methylphenidate group is that, you know, it's just sending out more delivery trucks. If you're looking at the like Adderall family, not only does that one send out more delivery trucks, but it also prevents the delivery trucks from coming back as quickly. So, you know, say instead of sending out 5 trucks, it sends out 7 trucks. And then it also, if 2 or 3 of them decide to come back, it's like, nope, yes, out there. So there's, you know, maybe 6 or 7 packages will still get delivered instead of the 10. So we're still at a deficit when we're taking medicine. It's not, you know, a magical cure. They're like, oh, the trucks are going to go where they need to be now. It doesn't work like that. But it can help you get more messages sent out and less return trucks that don't deliver their messages, depending on which, you know, family you're in on the stimulants. So, side note, going back on task, I will talk more about that next year. Hey mama, are you tired of running around at full speed the entire month of December trying to do all the things? Make the cookies, the handmade gifts, shopping, decorating, juggling all the invites and the family expectations. Are you worn out getting the normal stuff done, and now you've got all the holiday stuff on top of that, and even though you're working double time to do it all, you're still up really late at night before big celebrations, scrambling to complete the to-do list on little to no sleep? Are you grumpy that you're working this hard to make everyone happy except for yourself? Mama, this is not what the holidays are meant to be, and you and I both know it. Your mind knows, your spirit is heavy, and your body is tired. Can I throw you a life preserver? I'm teaching next week on how to help moms lower their holiday stress, and it starts by starting early, figuring out what's important to you, and making a plan. When we have ADHD, prioritizing is a skill that we're not so good at. So we have to create a way to be purposeful in deciding our priorities. Because everything sounds important at first glance, we have so much input coming in, it's hard to sort through the noise and know what is truly important. I mean, all the holiday activities sound fun, but there's only one of us and we can't do everything even if we try really hard. How do we figure out what we should be doing? And then once we know, how do we make a plan with that information? I know that you are ready to tackle this. Let's figure it out together. I want you to enjoy your holidays. I want you to spend time with the people that you care about. Attend the events that refill your tank, not deplete it. And carry on the traditions that build great holiday memories with your children. This class is going to be so energizing for you, and it's going to start off your holidays on the right foot. I want you to sign up for the free class on my website, patriciasung.com/free holiday class. It's all one word, free holiday class. And I'll email you the details. Now, if you're listening to the podcast in the future and you miss the class, don't be sad. Still click on the link, register, and I will let you know about future holiday classes that I'm teaching. It is time to stop being busy doing everything and get busy enjoying your holidays. Now, going back to the second part of the definition that I mentioned earlier, the persistent pattern of inattention and or hyperactivity and impulsivity. It interferes with your functioning and development. Now, I always equate ADHD as like a tomato sauce recipe. If you ask 10 different Italian grandmas, what's the recipe for the perfect tomato sauce? You're going to get 10 different recipes because one of them's going to tell you that you have to use fresh basil. And one of them's going to tell you, oh, how could you put meat in? You have to use meatballs. I mean, everyone has their own opinion, right? Well, even though all of those recipes are going to get you a slightly different flavor profile, they're all still tomato sauce. And that's what ADHD is. You have all these different flavors and nuances, but they're all ADHD. And you'll see that in the severity. Some people have mild ADHD, moderate, or severe. You'll see that with the different comorbidities that come along with it, which means usually ADHD has friends and it comes along with things like anxiety, depression, chronic fatigue, learning issues like dyscalculia or dysgraphia or dyslexia. And then other friends are addiction or suicidal thoughts. I mean, it's a very unfortunate thing, but it's very common for someone with ADHD to have lots of issues, not just one. Aren't we lucky? That was sarcasm, by the way. So when it comes to treating your ADHD, you can't just treat the ADHD. You have to treat all the things that go along with it. So if you are someone with ADHD and depression, then you might need a different combination of therapies in order to get the end result that's best for you, because someone who's dealing with addiction might need a different route. So just know that there's not one right answer and there's not one exact version of it. Everyone's is different and we all are going to use different tools and strategies and treatments to get the best result. But what we will see is all of these differences will show in almost every aspect of the person's life. It will affect you at home and at school and at work and in relationships. There's an issue with attention, both in sustaining, especially when things we don't care for or don't find interesting, or breaking attention when we're really into something and being able to step away and stop and change course. There are three different kinds of ADHD right now. Back in the day when I was diagnosed, it was called ADD slash ADHD, and now they just lump everything into ADHD together. But know that there are some people that are primarily hyperactive, some people that are primarily inattentive, and then there are people who have both areas. To me, I feel like the difference has to do with in hyperactive. To me, like my brain is very hyperactive, but my body isn't quite so hyperactive. You'll see it sometimes in I tend to fidget or like jiggle my leg or, you know, I'm constantly like moving something. I can't just sit still, but I'm not bouncing off the walls. That doesn't mean that I don't have any hyperactivity at all. But you will find some people that are significantly more inattentive versus hyperactive. And I'm not talking today about diagnosis because I would end up having this episode be like 45 minutes. But in the diagnostic manual, they do have a section of like, these are the symptoms that we see in people who are inattentive, and these are the symptoms that we see in people who are more hyperactive. And then obviously people that have both sections. So I'll link that too in the show notes. When you look at the symptoms that are chosen for the DSM, it's all things that are quantifiable, where you can put a value on it. But there are so many parts of ADHD that are not quantifiable. They're not so easily identified and like put a number to it. And things like emotions and energy. And so these things aren't in the diagnostic criteria because they can't measure them. How do you measure like, oh, how happy are you today? Like, it's not like we get out our scale and be like, well, it's really a 7 day. It doesn't work like that, right? And my 7 day might not be someone else's 7 day. That might be only a 5 for them. Or maybe that's a really good day for them. Maybe that's a 9 for them. There's no way for them to have an obvious quantifiable way to be like, emotions count for this many points. So they're not in the diagnostic criteria, but yet they are such a huge part of ADHD. And we've been talking about that in the executive function series that we've been doing for the last couple months, you know, off and on, is just executive function is a huge part of ADHD and how we function every day. It's literally the CEO of your brain. And so even though our individual parts might work, they don't work together. So you will see when we talk about like how it affects people in relationships and work and home and school, it's affecting all those pieces because all of you is involved in relationships. All of you is involved in working. All of you is involved in school and home. You can't just put them into little boxes and try to fix one section. It doesn't work like that. This affects how you get things done. We often see delayed maturity with ADHD. Things like money management, emotional regulation, your planning, your organizing, time blindness, not being able to read social cues, being fidgety. I mean, it's literally across the board in every way. There are quite a few common misconceptions that people have about ADHD. And I just want to hit a couple of the big ones so that you feel confident in the way that you explain this to others. So one is that you have to be MS in everything. So notice that I said ADHD affects every part of your life, but that doesn't mean that you're necessarily a mess in every part of your life, because as you've grown up, you have created coping abilities and you've got strategies in place and you've collected tools along the way, you've figured out ways to make it work. So you might have a very organized home because you learned as a child that you had to stay on top of everything and you've become a perfectionist in order to cope. So you're able to keep a super tidy house, but the cost of that is the level of stress that you are taking on to maintain that level of perfection. It doesn't have to be a mess everywhere. More important to me is the pattern of inconsistency, that some things you're hyper-focused and some things you can't focus on at all. You're really stellar at certain skills and abysmal at others. Because when we are interested, those neurotransmitters are moving and we're really making progress and we're getting things done. But yet when things aren't interesting and the neurotransmitters die out and all the vehicles still parked in the garage, you know, things don't happen. So that inconsistency is more important than the level of overall mess. Another common misconception I often hear is that it's only a childhood issue. Everyone has that stereotypical like 5-year-old boy bouncing off the walls, driving everyone nuts. And it's not just about that. It can be girls who are space cadets or women who are grown up. Like, it doesn't have to be just a childhood issue, and it doesn't end in childhood. As you get older, you learn the skills to cope, and so parts will get easier because you have experience to draw from, but that doesn't mean that you don't have ADHD anymore. It just means you're better at handling it because you're a grown-up and you've adapted. Another misconception is that it's only for certain people, like, only for boys or only for certain cultures. And that's not true. Right now, they usually guess there's about 5% of people have ADHD. And I personally think that's way too low. I think there are so many women who are not diagnosed that the number is actually somewhere between 5 and 10%, in my opinion. I'm telling you that right now. That's totally my opinion. I did not learn that anywhere. I have just met so many women in this process who are like, I feel like you're reading the inside of my head. What's going on here? And they had no idea that this is what has been their struggle for the last 30, 40, 50 years. And how many people just don't get a diagnosis because it's not necessary for them in this time of life. They don't pursue that or spend that, you know, effort and dollars and all that to get it. I think it's way higher. But either way, it affects people in every country, every ethnicity, every culture, every gender, every age, every intelligence level. ADHD is not a biased neurological disorder. It will take anyone along the way. So it's not just certain people that have it. Certain people might be more obvious because they are hyperactive, and if they're causing a ruckus, they're going to get that diagnosis rather than someone who's just quietly reading the book in the corner. And I would love to see, you know, as years go on, more and more people talking about their ADHD and it being an open topic of conversation and not having that negative connotation behind it, because it is one of the most common mental health issues in adults. I think it's only surpassed by depression and anxiety. And how sad is it that only 40% of adults with mental health issues received treatment in 2018? And I'll link that stat. That means 60% of the people who are struggling are not getting help. And that breaks my heart. And that's why I started this podcast, is to be a light out there to say, you know, you're not broken and you're not alone. There are others of us that are out here, and you don't have to be a hot mess. You can figure out the ways that work for you and have the treatment and the toolkit that you need to make your life successful. It is possible. It does take a lot of work, I won't lie, but it is possible. So now that you have this information, Mama, I hope that you can discuss it confidently, make the decisions that are right for you in your heart, that you can know who you are and what's the best course of action for you. So happy ADHD Awareness Month, Mama. I hope that you got a lot out of this month learning about who you are and how your brain works. And sometime in the future, if you're not now, if you'd be comfortable, I hope one day sharing about what you're struggling with and joining that conversation out loud. And I don't want you to feel pressure if you're not ready for that, because we all have to talk about it in our own time. But I know that the more that I have talked about it, the better I feel about it. But I also don't know where you've been and what you're dealing with and how that would affect you in work or other places and relationships. So don't feel that pressure from me. Don't feel that pressure from other people. It needs to be when you feel comfortable stepping out and saying, hey, this is who I am and this is what I deal with every day. But I do want to encourage you that when you step out into the light and you're not hiding that in the darkness anymore, there is a lot of relief and freedom that comes with that. So I fervently pray that one day you'll feel comfortable stepping out into that when you're ready. So have an amazing week, successful mama. Please go down and hit a review for the podcast, share it with a friend, and have a wonderful, wonderful last few days of October. Can't believe it. Almost November. All right. Have an amazing week, successful mama. We'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to Motherhood in ADHD. For more resources, head over to our website, www.motherhoodinadhd.com.